Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear, and boo ha, it's the first of the month, or near the start of the month. It's Flatshare Slamdown. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew. And I thought, for some reason, I thought you were going to do that song that goes boom, sound of my heart, the beat goes on and on and on and on and on.
I wouldn't have done that because I don't know what that song is.
I mean, apparently neither do I, from the way I was hitting it. But there we go. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. Yeah, it's a Flatshare Slamdown. Oh, very exciting.
It is always exciting, isn't it? There's something in the air on a Flatshare Slamdown day. You can't quite put your finger on it, but it's one of those days where anything could happen.
There's a sort of ineffable, it's not quite a mist, it's not quite a gas, but there's the atmosphere changes. It's like just before it rains, you know?
Exactly right. There's a spring in your step. The man in the shop, he's just served you. He'll watch you leave and go, maybe it's a Flatshare Slamdown day.
Yes, I think absolutely, yeah. He's watched you leave and he's said, well, that guy wasn't wearing a mask, what's his problem? And you're like, well, it doesn't make me feel human. And you're like, yeah, fair enough. But yeah, so... yes, it was recorded over Zoom, as we've been doing the last few Flatshare Slamdowns have been recorded over Zoom, streaming live on YouTube for everyone who wanted to watch it there. And we've got another one of them coming up. So if you enjoy this, but you want to see it live, you see our beautiful faces, then get yourself to eventbrite.co.uk, because on August the 12th, we've got two amazing guests. We have got Joe Wilkinson and we have got Sindhu V.
Oh, yes, please. That's going to be an absolute belter.
It's the return of Joe Wilkinson. Very exciting to have him back on the show. First time for Sindhu. And I mean, for Joe as well, not only is he coming back on the show, but he's also doing it from his own house. So I think all bets are off. I imagine it's worth watching it go out live because we'll probably edit loads of it out.
Why wouldn't you order that cocktail? if you're enjoying listening to the Flat Slam, Flat Down Slam Downs, then please get along.
What's
to
it called, Tom? Sorry, back.
Well, Flat Down Slam Down.
I confused myself. If you're enjoying listening to the Flat Slam Slam Downs,
Tom.
Right.
It's been 9 years. I'm going to give you one final chance.
Here we go.
Can you tell us the name of the podcast that you've co-hosted now for 9 years?
If you enjoy listening to Flatshare Slamdown,
yes. He got it, guys.
Then get along to the Patreon where you can enjoy Flatshare Lockdown.
Oh, that's right. I see why. Yeah, I can see where the confusion came from. That's right. There are now over 50 bonus episodes of Flatshare Lockdown. Gosh. And as soon as you join the Patreon, you get them immediately. You get them all. Plus, you get about another 30 episodes of bonus house meetings, bonus beefs. There's loads of extra bonus content. You get every single episode the second you join if it's $5.
That's a whole load of content for not a lot of change.
Yeah. It's a great bargain. We're throwing this away. We're giving it away. You'd be a fool not to get to patreon.com/pappy's flatshare and sign up today.
Exactly right. But this Flatshare Slam Down is a real treat because we had two absolute legends of the field ploughing their trade.
You went with the field analogy, and I like that.
I was stuck in the field, exactly right.
That's it. Acres of laughs.
Okay, there you go. Acres of laughs. Two legends of the field ploughing their troughs of their troughs of ruffle. Right, anyway, listen, I'm off to have a lie down. Enjoy the episode with our two fantastic guests.
It's Dara O'Brien, it's Sophie Duker. As you know, they're legends out in their own fields. And
this is...
hell of a trough.
This is Flatshare Slam. Oh, God. Enjoy the episode.
Tom, Ben!
What is it, Matthew?
Yeah, what is it, you smoking
piece of ass.
You are a smoking piece of ass.
So much. You know what? Not a lot of people have said that I'm a smoking piece of ass. I think it's probably the I think it's probably the sailor's hat that's doing it. It adds a little bit of
sexy
magic.
Also, can you stop smoking in the front room, please?
Yeah, I know. That's, I've got a child.
That's the
it's really irresponsible. So listen, good house meeting. But one of you bastards has got to get our face masks because of this bloody coronavirus that's happening outside.
Well, listen, Matthew, it's not going to be me, okay? I had a terrible time with masks recently. I've got three French friends staying with me, and I thought I'd buy them all a mask as a gift. But the masks arrived, and the straps on the masks, they were really sharp. But I thought I'd give them anyway. So I gave them to my first friend, Athos. He put it on, sliced straight through his ear. Gave it to my second friend, Porthos. He did it exactly the same. Gave it to my third friend, Aramis. That happened as well. In the end, we had three mask-cut ears. I actually think that's one of my firmer efforts, I think.
I think that's actually closer to a joke than anyone you've done so far. So I just wanted to ask, is everything all right at home?
Three mask-cut ears.
Yeah, that almost makes sense there. Clarky, what about you? How come you're not going to get the face mask today?
Well, I tell you what, actually, I've found wearing a mask genuinely and an enlightening experience.
Oh, wow. Because
before, I was walking around just kind of ignorant to the impact I was having on the people around me. And suddenly, it's only when I put the mask on that I was horribly aware of just how bad my breath smells.
That is a genuine problem, isn't it?
That is a problem with the mask, isn't it?
And that's a true story.
Well, anyway, there's only one way to settle this. We're going to have a flat chair slam down.
We're in a flat.
Flat chair slam down.
We're sharing with our mates.
Flat chair slam down.
Someone better slow it down.
Flat chair slam down.
Hello and welcome to Flatshare Slamdown, the panel show that says pungent smells, they consummate my home. Beyond the black horizon, trying to take control. See my girl, she shivers in her bones. The sun and zenith rising, trying to take us all. There's a fire between us, so where is your God? There's a fire between us, I can't get off the carousel. I can't get off the carousel. I can't get off the carousel. I can't get off this world. Face mask. I always wanted you to go into face mask. Intergalactic Christ. Face mask. I always wanted you to go into face mask. Intergalactic Christ. I'm the host and landlord, Matthew Crosby. And though we're apart, they're always in my heart. Let's meet the tenants, Tom Parry and Ben Clark.
Ahoy.
Hello, guys. Now, obviously, you can't get the masks yourself on your own. You need someone who already has a mask to go to the shop, buy you a mask that you can wear to then go to the shop yourself to buy a mask. So who have you brought along with you this week? Ben, who have you brought along?
Ah, I've brought along my newest friend, Sophie Duca.
Sophie Duca is here. Sophie, it's so lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Now.
Hi.
Thank
hi,
you.
Hi,
don't
hi.
Yeah. Don't, yeah. Don't cut off the highs.
I mean, the thing is, hi has been your catchphrase for a number of years. It's weird of us to suddenly just jump on the bandwagon of it. It's a very infectious catchphrase. Listen, what kind of a flatmate are you? Are you a good flatmate?
I think I'm a good flatmate. Most of my flatmates, when the pandemic plague hit, left the house and the country. So
right, okay,
they
now
fled.
Maybe if you go back to your first statement,
I think
you're
a
good flatmate.
I stand by that. I kept the fort. I sat the cat.
Do you know what? You're very much like the captain of the Titanic, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go down with this crazy Hackney flatshare.
So, who are you apart from the gorgeous plants you've got behind you? Who are you with at the moment? You said most of them are gone.
Most of them are gone. I'm mainly with the cat. Her name's Dijon Mustard.
Wow. Oh, ooh. What a name.
Is she the colour of Dijon mustard?
She tastes like Dijon mustard.
Well, you know, whatever gets you through lockdown, Sophie, that is absolutely fine. No judgments here.
She's ginger. We don't have a lot of... I think I'm not a cat person, or I wasn't a cat person, but I think you've got to have mutual respect with your flatmates or catmates. but she doesn't respect me. She I think when cats like you, they give you like a little sort of a lick or a little like little sort of graze with their teeth. And the first time she did that to me, I was like, oh, beautiful kitty cat. And then I looked at the TV and then looked back at her and she was just rimming herself.
Yeah, that, I mean, they will do that. That's the thing. They will do
it. If we could do it, we would do it.
That's it.
That's it. I mean, the thing is, I try not to think about that because I do, like, I'm one of those people who kisses their cat.
No.
And you think, yeah.
Her tongue is always up her ass. And I she's know. Otherwise very elegant.
That little sandpapery tongue is just, it doesn't seem like it would be the most effective cleaning system. If I could lick my own asshole, I would still shower and, you know, use a moist towelette once in a while. I don't think I'd rely entirely on my tongue. But that's just me anyway. So listen, Parry, who have you brought along with you this week?
Well, listen up, Matthew. The Jamboree is in danger.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, we've been fallen on financial hard times. But the Chancellor of the Exchequer has announced that he's going to be giving funding to cultural institutions. So I decided to hire the only cultural institution that I know. It's Dara O'Brien, everyone.
Dara O'Brien is here. Dara, how are you, man?
I'm very, very well.
What kind of a flatmate are you?
You know, the notion that my wife and children regard me as a flatmate would be heartbreaking in some ways. Flatmate for my kids, you know, like my wife does all the disciplining and raising and cleaning of the children, but I'm just the guy they hang out with who's pretty cool and plays Nintendo with them. I think an okay flatmate, although I've done the whole flatmate thing all the way to the bit where I want out of this. I can't do this anymore. I've lived some pretty terrible houses. Many, many terrible houses.
What have been?
But
the
I'm
worst?
Not still in contact with them, which is kind of like that poker game thing of if you're not in contact, if you're the only one who's not in contact still, you were the bad flatmate.
Yeah, absolutely. So what? Right, okay. Well, let's. I was going to ask, what's the worst thing you've seen? What do you think is the worst thing you've done? What do you think is the thing that's excluded you from...
specifically in a flat share environment?
Qualify. Killed a guy in the swamp. That doesn't count for this one.
No.
Outdoors. Okay.
Yeah. There was a note. I was in a house share, and this is like when I was into my 30s. I was in a house share at a point where I shouldn't still be in a house share, and I didn't really myself and created and another one. We got very off our faces one night, and there was a note saying, "Hey, everybody, leave £25." So we folded the two notes into swans, and then built a lake by putting cling film over a bowl, and then floated the money. As in, like, left it as a kind of an objet for them, which we thought was a tremendously passive-aggressive comment on how, I don't know, it was kind of a weird thing. But
it sounds incredibly artistic. I always thought, you know, like, I mean, you know,
we
Parry,
laughed
Parry
laughed
shat on the floor. This feels like, sorry to throw you under the bus, mate.
I didn't put cling film down first.
It's not about what shape my shit was in.
Not in any scatological way. There's nothing. The cling film just created a lake type effect over the bowl so that the notes could then float, like, you know, like the swans.
What kind
of
bowl do you own that isn't waterproof, by the way?
No. Look, it was a cereal bowl, right? But you have a stretched cling film at the top of the top. It's like a lake. Now it's like a lake with clear water or ice, let's say. You take the swan you've built from a £20 note, and then you make it swim on the lake. You just place it onto the lake. So it looks like it's floating beautifully on the lake. That was, honestly, it was one of the few happy memories from that. There's just a point in your life when you go into a house and you open a door and there's five butters on separate shelves of the fridge and you go, oh, fuck this lifestyle. I can't do this anymore.
I'm getting married.
Yeah.
One butter.
Yeah. There's two butters now. One for his wife, one for his
house. Oh, now there's like a butter and there's like a margarine and then there's like a cholesterol low margarine. Now there's weirdly as many condiments and spreads as there were, if not more, but I'm allowed to tuck in on all of them.
Right, well, let's get cracking because I'm very excited about this because we're about to play round one, and we're still playing the game. Can Dara spot if there is a game at play at any point as well? So let's find
none
out.
None so far.
So that is our guest covered, but who is going to help me cover my face as we play round one?
You're off to to the shops, better cover your chops, cause this virus, it needs containing. You stood in a crowd, there's no need to be proud, cover your gob and stop complaining. Stand out as a legend, even though you look the same. If you get bored, pretend that you're the Batman villain Bane. Wear your mask in town, no one's gonna make you pull it down. Wear your mask around, no one's gonna make you pull it down. Wear your mask around, no one's gonna make you pull it down. You're off on a date and you're gonna be late, cause you gotta put on some lipstick. But then you recall there's no need to at all, you're a mask wearing not a dipstick. Show them half your face and they will love you as a whole. It's not the nose, it's the eyes that are the gateway to the soul. Wear your mask down, no one's gonna make you pull it down. Wear your mask around, no one's gonna make you pull it down. Wear your mask around, no one's gonna make you pull it down.
Yes, indeed. This round is called Mask Jeeves. And I'm going to give our contestants a question that I asked the cyber butler, Jeeves. Okay? Remember Ask Jeeves from back in the day? Well, there is a... I'll tell you now. I went on Ask Jeeves last night to check he was still okay. And I've got bad news for you guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm afraid Ask Jeeves as a website is no longer. But don't worry. Someone has bought up the domain name askjeeves.net. And run it through Google, so it's basically the same thing. So we're okay. We're
so
okay,
enough
guys.
For us to do the game.
That's enough for us to still do the game. Mask Jeeves. Here we go. So I'm going to give you all a question. I'd like you to tell me what you think the answer is. Okay. What do the HTML valet say? I'd like both teams to give me an answer. Whoever gets the closest can win up to 5 points. Now, question one. We'll start with Tom and Dara. We asked Jeeves.
Yes.
What's the best way to impress your boss? Tom and Dara, what are your immediate thoughts? What's the best way to impress your boss? Dara, when was the last time you had a boss?
A boss? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like some summer job or something.
And did you impress him?
No.
Did you make any origami? Did you take your paycheck at the end and go, you know what, I'm not going to spend this, but look at this gorgeous elephant I've made.
Yeah. With your money. With the float. God, how does one impress a boss these days? Are you perky? Are you supposed to be all attentive? Do you listen to, you know? And is now, like on a Zoom chat...
Is punctuality still respected in this business?
That must still be a thing, isn't it?
It's got to be a thing, hasn't it?
People must still want to do that.
So we've got perkiness, we've got punctuality.
Okay, perkiness sounds weird. Perkiness sounds a bit...
Yeah.
I'd be really impressed if that was the number one answer. Be perky.
That's sexist.
Enthusiasm. Go the extra mile.
I was going to ask that question. Is enthusiasm enough? Because if it isn't, then I've got to rethink my comedy career.
Career.
Is energy enough?
Enough. You know.
Okay. All right. So we've got energy and we've
got to look. You've got your appearance as well, right? I've been chatting to my friends who've got real jobs during lockdown. And Emma.
Asking them if you have one.
Well, Emma recently got a job where a big part of the interview was them talking about her social life and being like, what do you do outside of work? Do you go to the pub? We're a company that like to socialise. And it's like, you know, that might be, is it like work hard, play hard?
Oh.
Because, you know, in this day and age, like with, you know, it's extracurricular stuff that counts, maybe.
It's like the NatWest advert. It's not all work, work, work. It's like
exactly
that.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
But you want someone with a bit of work, surely. Surely it's not a flatmate you're going for here. I know all these interviews, like flatmate interviews and things, are all essentially chemistry. Essentially like, oh, could I... Okay, here, actually, sorry. Here's what you need to do. Could I bear to be in an office with this person? Is essentially, the, you know, independent. Once you've got, you know, you've broadly got the law degree that we require for this legal job, but yeah. Could I bear to spend 8 hours a day with you?
This is exactly why I've never got a proper job.
Yeah. I mean, the kimono, for a start.
Don't wear a kimono? Maybe we should go with that.
Oh, that is a strong choice for an interview, a kimono.
Bear in mind, it's not necessarily a job. It's not necessarily a job interview. This is just how to impress your... let's say you've already got the job, perhaps. How are you going to impress him? Well, let's throw it over, because we'll let you think of your definite answer, Tom and Dara.
Yeah,
let's throw it over to Ben and Sophie. What are you guys thinking? Sophie, have you had a boss? Have you had a real job at any stage?
I have.
How did you impress?
Okay, so I carried a lot of cake around.
That's a good answer.
That's a very good answer, yeah.
I carried a lot of cake. It wasn't cake that I had purchased and paid for, but I carried it around. Most of it went all over my top. I was a bad cake.
So rub cake on yourself, is that the answer? So,
I mean... I think people who bake in offices get a lot of love. People who bring in food that they made at home, because everyone's so depressed. Okay.
Wait, so you weren't like working at a bakery, you were just in a normal office, just
normal
constantly
office.
Carrying cake around.
She was a wedding planner.
I was a receptionist. They were like, carry around some cake. We like cake, just take a bit of cake. There was a guy called Angry Graham on the second floor who I used to take him the cake first, and he used to give me one of his rare smiles.
You were the best part of Angry Graham's day.
Yeah, but that is a girl with cake all over a top, giving you like a smashed jam donut, being the highlight of your day.
Yeah, it's not great, is it? Sophie and Ben, what are you thinking? Then we'll move back to Tom and Dara and see if we can pin this down.
Being good? What was the question again?
How do you impress?
What's the best way to impress your boss?
Focus.
Working well as part of a team and as an individual.
Okay, all right. That's okay. So how do you feel about that answer, Sophie? Are you happy with that?
I don't think that's how you impress. I really never only got any credit for that. I think you need to do something flashy, like work the photocopier. Or like the printer's always breaking. I think you need to.
I love how you think that's flashy.
Well, it's
your like version of the Fonz is just going over, booting the photocopier.
I've got two of these now. That's
great, actually, Crosby.
Thanks very much. Thanks, everybody. It's really great. Okay, so
you think being the go-to person, being the go-to person, that there's a thing, and
one's ours. That one's ours, though.
Oh, okay. Is this?
Yeah.
Is it though? Is it though? Okay.
I just don't think. Okay. Yeah.
So you think doing something flashy along the lines of like, fixing the photocopy or being handy around the office, basically.
Being like, being a problem solver as well as being competent.
I think this is a multifaceted answer. I think we might have to narrow you down to it. So generally being a problem solver, I think. Okay. All right. Tom, what was your answer inspired by Sophie's cake stories?
Be a team player. Bosh.
I was going to go with neg your boss endlessly, constantly undermine him until it becomes, you know, just constantly negatively. So, do you think? We'll go with that.
Until he's desperate.
Until you're the boss.
You know, just do the thing. Go and do the thing that you're supposed to do without, and leave him alone. Other than that, just
do the job well and don't get in the way.
Just don't get, you know, I mean, who and doesn't want to
keep
be left
your head
alone?
Down. Keep your head down. Get
just
on with
do
it.
The thing.
And Sophie, you're almost saying the opposite. You're saying make yourself visible.
Hi, I'm the photocopy guy. Yeah.
I inkjet. That's your nickname. No. Little inkjet.
Oh,
that's
a cool Sophie inkjet. Yeah,
that's better than Angry Graham.
It's much better than Angry Graham. I'm Inkjet Joan.
Hey, Inkjet.
I'm calling for this. Like,
hey, Inkjet, what are you doing Thursday night? It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
cool.
Pretty
it's
good.
Cool.
It's pretty good.
What about nickname? Is that
a
new answer?
A fun nickname.
Just have a cool nickname. Give everyone nicknames.
Yeah.
Be the nickname guy.
That's Tone of Peace.
Tone
of Peace.
Tone of Peace.
Tone of Peace.
I think Tone of Peace and Inkjet are going to clash. They're going to really. They're going to lock antlers at some point. There's
There's a new printer guy in town.
Thing is, I'd love to give you the answer, but I can't actually give the answer myself. So instead, we've got our very own Jeeves. Jeeves, are you there, my man?
Who would own a buck of it eaten?
Jeeves, my good man, how are you?
An absolute pleasure to be here, typecast as ever, listening to, let's be honest, an excruciatingly long chat about office politics as I sat here holding my book open for minutes on end. Listen, it's lovely to be here. I am Ivo Angry Graham. Lovely to see you again, Sophie. So would you like the correct answer to this thoroughly tedious question?
Oh, jeez, my God. Please do not get ideas above your station, right? Or you're back down to the servants' quarters.
Very
with no gruel. Jeez, yes.
What's the best way to impress your boss? Now, obviously, in the kind of circles my master moves in, if you have a job, you have failed. If you're living off anything other than your inheritance, something's gone very badly wrong.
Absolutely correct.
You don't need to impress your boss because your boss is usually one of your father's friends. However, a little bit of layman advice, if you like, and we were quite close to it early on, and then it was lost in the melee, is arrive early. Oh! This has always been the key to impress a boss who is concerned with your inputs. Since it is so hard to predict when traffic will be bad or your bus will be late, sometimes the only way to ensure you are always on time is to arrive early. Arriving before your bosses will give them an impressive notion of your work ethic.
Lovely.
So that was nearly as long as the opening chat.
So you've got 5 points to give. Do you think anybody gets any of those 5 points? You can divide them up between the teams. You don't have to give them all out. Do you think anyone's going to get any of those points?
Well, I was tempted to give both teams a sort of encouraging 3 near the top of the chat, but that did start to drain away as, you know, words like sort of being a good team player were thrown around, excruciating tangent about printers. So I think I liked Sophie's thing about baking, even though that just amounted to a smashed jam donut, but then that wasn't the answer they gave anyway. So I think it is going to be a pretty miserable 1 point for both teams.
1 point for both teams. No further along than when we started, unfortunately.
Can't really argue with that.
Let's try another question. Ben and Sophie, we'll start with you. What do you think our internet pal Jeeves made of the question, what's the best question to ask at a dinner party? What is the best question to ask at a dinner party? Sophie and Ben, we'll start with you guys. Go to a lot of dinner parties. What kind of stuff do you chat about?
Feels so long ago.
Feels like a bygone time ago, doesn't it?
Yeah. Is it a party if it's just you and the cat?
What do you chat to the cat about? What do you speak to Dijon Mustard about?
Licked your arsehole recently?
God. We talk about all the things I think you're not meant to talk about at dinner parties, me and the cat, like politics. You're not meant to talk about that at dinner parties. And
religion,
that's been pretty uneventful. Religion. Are you meant to talk about sex at dinner parties?
It depends on the dinner party, really. Yeah. I think towards the end of a dinner party, if you're all going to throw some keys in a bowl, it's probably worth...
Yeah. You know, worst pudding ever.
imagine if someone put cling film on the top of the bowl and then the keys would bounce off.
It's a lake full of keys.
For God's sake.
Oh, it's very, very scratchy, this dinner.
So, Clarky,
best thing.
What about you? What do you think is the best thing, question to ask at a dinner party?
Well, I suppose it's kind of, it's like being interested in someone, isn't it? So not talking, like obviously not talking about yourself, but what's a good kind of jumping off point for a convo? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
I think I'm still interview again.
I'm stuck on the job interview, aren't I?
Is it not your parents? That's what your parents say when you go home. Are you still doing that podcast thing? What is it?
This all feels very familiar now. It's all careers, and I'm sure it's not the kimono that's making me sweat this time.
Okay, I've got it. I've got a really good...
Harry, what do you think you've got?
Okay, well, obviously it's a dinner party, so you're going to want to seem quite highfalutin. You want to seem quite intellectual.
Lovely.
You want to fake interest in the people you're dining with.
Or just have an interest in them.
So you go with, so what are you reading at the moment?
Okay, a lot of people not enjoying that question. What are you reading at the moment?
Ditch my teammate on this one?
Yeah, because I think, Dari, you're absolutely right. No, it's very
whom
loaded.
Are you reading at the
whom
moment?
Whom are you reading?
Whom readeth thou at the moment?
Who are you, and you're doing this. Whom are you reading at the moment?
Who are you reading?
And whom is reading you?
I finally guess what the format of this whole thing is, which is, comedian try and fail to work out how normal people live by speculating on work and dinner parties and other things that we'd never go to.
What would it be like to have a social life? Tom, your thoughts. Who are you reading at the moment? Okay, so Dara, if you're reading,
and appallingly, we keep fighting against it. What do you do? What do you do is sadly for every audience chat is the same thing. What do you do? Which is basically,
it's good for crowd work. It's a good icebreaker.
Talk about yourself for a while. I will politely nod and listen. And I'm saying this, by the way, I'm getting to the point because Jeeve was a bit of a judgmental prick when it came to
and now we know he's there as well, just loitering.
He's clearly hovering, Jeeves, judging every phrase that we say. So I'm going to say, what do you do?
What do you do? Sophie, what are you going to go for?
Well, I mean, I feel like Dara's snitched the most obvious answer, but I think you should ask something about them. I agree that. I think you should ask something that's non-controversial, so not about, you know, political stuff.
Sure.
Ask them if they have any allergies.
Practical.
Yeah.
It's also practical.
It's good if you're hosting the party as well because you know not to serve them shellfish, for example. So
yeah. I mean, you probably already cooked it at that stage, but you can still ask.
You can't eat anything.
Show an interest.
have a can of Heineken and shut up. Clarky, are you happy with the allergies answer?
I was going to go with what's your favourite podcast, but I think. again.
Maybe like hobbies.
Hobbies is
because,
nice.
Because what you do is like. This I work for a photocopier.
But it doesn't define me. That's not who I am.
Exactly,
you
know. Yeah.
But I really aspire to bake, and then you talk about what they actually like rather than what they do.
It's what they do in their time when they're not working. Okay, well let's
reading.
Let's take the tips. Well, that's the second question there, Tom, isn't it? So Jeeves, let's chat to Jeeves and see.
Here he comes.
Good evening. Hello. I enjoyed that round a little more than the last one, and I think
do you know what? I deliberately kept it punchy for you, Jeeves, because I know you're on borrowed time.
So, what are the best questions to ask at a dinner party? And can I confirm that those were from Dara, what do you do? And from Sophie, do you have any allergies? Is that correct?
I think in the end we went with hobbies, but
we pivoted to
often
hobbies.
I tell you what, if it's allergies, we're going to give it the full 5 points.
Right. Well, I'm actually a big fan of both of those, obviously. I'll just give you my favourite dinner party question from my own well-heeled social life of late. Genuinely, last year, someone at a dinner party asked the host, is this the standard Ottolenghi recipe, or have you gone off-piste? So
it's a different world. It's a different world.
Who knows how they live, people?
It's a different world.
If by different world you mean vegetarianism, then, you know, so be it. Listen, I like Dara O'Brien asking, what do you do? Because I've seen a couple of Dara O'Brien live shows, and I know that even if it doesn't lead anywhere particularly interesting immediately, Dara will encore at the end of the dinner party and reincorporate all of the professions he has discovered in thrilling fashion. So even just the memory of that alone makes me give him a proud 4.
Oh my God!
Wowie.
Sophie's question about the allergies, as you pointed out, would be too little too late at that stage. But still well-meaning. Hobbies, I think you can't...
Have you not seen Sophie live, though? At the end, she brings back everyone's allergies and incorporates it into one big...
Yeah,
she murders the audience. Have some wheat. Where was gluten? You're up the back.
It's a hell of a finale.
I think it's a lovely question, and I think what are your hobbies is also... You can make wonderful things out of one of your hobbies. So I'm going to give that 4 as well. I'm not being pulled in either direction, really.
Okay. These last two questions are key. What's the correct answer?
Oh, the correct answer is, I'll be honest, in the last one, I was proud of the correct answer and I hated the panel's contributions. In this case, lovely contributions from the panel. And this has made me quite angry, actually. If you were by yourself and could do anything you wanted for one day, what would you do?
I mean, that's so close to what are your hobbies, isn't it?
We all know what Sophie's cat would say.
She doesn't have to be alone. I'm just always, she waits till I'm there to rim herself.
Now anyway. That you say that, it does sound a bit like hobbies. But I prefer the directness of what are your hobbies, whereas this is the sort of hypothetical bullshit being peddled on Hinge and other question-based dating apps. But I suppose that should be another point to Sophie. Matthew.
I think just to make it interesting, let's give Sophie the 5 and let's give Dara the 4.
Commiserations to O'Brien.
Such is life.
Jeeves, at ease, we'll call you again very, very soon. So, another one for Tom and Dara. We asked Web Slave Jeeves, what's the ideal height for a man? What do you think?
We're going to like that.
Quick answers here. The ideal height for a man.
Well, 6'4". 6'4" is the ideal height for a man.
6'4", we say. 6'4".
Okay, 6'2". I'm 6'4", so 6'2".
I'm 6'2".
Are you 6'2"?
Well, yeah. You make it 6'3".
Shall we split
surely?
The difference?
6'3"?
Yeah, because 6'4" is slightly tall. Yeah,
you're a bit slightly too tall at 6'4".
I mean, I carry it, obviously. But
yeah,
But yeah, 6'2", I think, it has a good ring to it.
I'm very happy with 6'2".
So we go 6'2".
It feels like a nice height.
It's a good height, yeah.
It's a gorgeous height. I hope to get there myself one day. Keep Sophie going. And I'm taking those supplements. Sophie and Ben, what about you? What do you think is the ideal height for a man?
What do you think, Sophie?
I think you've got to be like taller than a postbox.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
And what's the ideal height for a postbox?
I'd say 5'7".
5'7".
It's a postbox, I would say.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Just a few more captain hats.
All numbers greater than 5'7". That's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but
we're hedging our bets. Numbers. Yeah.
All numbers. Yeah.
Any
upper
height.
Bound on this? Are you going? You know.
Well, between that and a telephone pylon.
Yeah, anything, yeah.
Okay.
Do you only measure your men in postboxes?
I thought once that a postbox was a man.
Ooh. And
weird date?
Yeah.
What distance?
How long were you chatting to him before you realised?
You are such a good listener.
He's spinning with his gob open the entire time. He's giving me nothing.
He's got a hell of an appetite, though. I keep seeing him.
I don't think the perspective was, I was walking towards this postbox.
This guy happened again.
And so, like, he was of an increasing height. But as I got closer, I realised that he was... A postbox.
Okay. So taller than a postbox, you would say?
I would say 6 foot.
Six foot.
Personally.
Okay.
It's a nice round number, not too tall, not too small.
How tall are you, Ben?
I'm 6 foot.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm seeing a pattern emerging here.
Interesting.
But I just plucked it out of the air, obviously.
Well, let's see what Jeeves says about the ideal height for a man. Jeeves.
Well, sorry. Wow. You're cracking through that reading, aren't you?
Brushing up on one of the greats. I can tell you that Jacob Rees-Mogg is 6'1", which would mean that two of him could lie down on a parliament bench of 13 feet and still have a few inches to play with. However, the answer that I'm looking at here is 5'11".
Oh, we were 1 inch off.
On average, women say a romantic partner 5'3" or shorter is generally too short for comfort, while a partner 6'3" or taller is too tall, and the ideal height for a man is 5'11" via YouGov. I should briefly break character to comment on the very heteronormative nature of that survey, but it is what it is. It's the 1800s.
That's YouGov for you. That's YouGov for you. We don't make the rules. We just have to stick to it.
So listen.
What's that going to do to the points?
I don't know. I was reading Voltaire. I heard someone say...
He's good. It is good.
Genuinely.
He's got subbed in, didn't he?
He gets in the first page. Yeah. He gets in the first page and you're in. You know what
can I ask you, Tom? What are you reading at the moment?
It's a very good question, actually. It's a very good question.
Fun fact about Voltaire, 5'11 as well. What a guy. Whoa. What a guy.
Bang. You'd be a lucky man or woman.
But round like a postbox.
Always wore red.
Perfectly cylindrical man. The most cylindrical of all the French great thinkers.
Am I right in saying that someone said 6 foot and someone said 6'1"?
6'2".
6'2". 6'2".
So, and who said 6 foot?
That was Clarky.
Mr. Ben Clark.
Clarky, you were 1 inch off, so I'll take 1 point off. Four.
Lovely.
And yes. For the people who said 6 foot two, you were 3 inches off, so I will deduct 3 points. Two. That's the fairest scoring so far, I think.
Very, 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 very fair. That. Very, very fair. You know, I like you more and more every time I see you.
Thank you very
Jeeves,
much.
I really do.
You've really mellowed.
Yeah, you've really chilled. You came out all guns blazing. But you know what? That's okay. I think it's because I said in the little briefing chat that I might shout you down at some point. So you attacked me before I had a chance to attack you. It's a classic, you know, it's a classic stand-up maneuver. You make the joke that they're going to make about you before they get a chance.
You must shoot first in a duel.
Absolutely right, and I'm shot right through. But thank you, Jeeves. At ease for a moment. One final question to start with Sophie and Ben. How did my futuristic butler of the past answer the question, what is the worst thing to say to someone who's grieving? Sophie and Ben, what do you think? Worst thing to say to somebody who is grieving?
Cheer up, mate.
I mean, it's very. It would be a bad thing to say.
You look like you've seen a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
I'm liking these punchy answers. Tom and Dara, where do you go?
Don't worry, there'll be another one along in a minute.
Plenty more fish in the sea.
Plenty more fish in the sea.
Worst things happen at sea. On the street.
Yeah. How did the person die? Was it a nautical incident?
Are they now a fossil?
Honestly, how did they die?
How did that happen?
Tell me how they died. Did they die roaring? Screaming and shit themselves. Was it awful? Were you there?
Final answer.
Okay, well, I'm gonna lock in all of those answers because they're all very, very strong.
They die roaring?
Jeeves, what do you say?
The final answer is, what's the worst thing to say to someone grieving? Is, of course, my trip to Barnard Castle was within the guidelines. Lovely crowbarred stuff there. But what I'm actually looking at on my card is, I thought you'd be over it by now. It's a pretty bad thing to say to someone who's grieving.
Yeah. It doesn't specify how long they've been grieving for. You know, this could be, someone could have literally died in their arms. But let's see. What do you think that's going to do to the scores then? How do you like to reward people? Because they all gave very strong answers.
They did. I think plenty more fish in the sea is callous, but it does sort of look forward to the future in quite a practical way. So I'll give that three. And I'll have to give the other one three as well.
Yeah, well done.
Okay, fantastic. There we go. Right.
Fantastic.
Really worth playing that final round. Huge thanks to our Jeeves. Ivo Graham, everybody. Ivo Graham was our Jeeves. Thank you so much, Ivo. And at the end of that round, producer Gwyn, what are the scores, please?
The scores are Tom and Dara have 10 and Ben and Sophie have 13.
Wow. Oh, hey, look at that.
Right, so Ben and Sophie.
Insurmountable.
Ben and Sophie are in the lead, but...
It's over.
Done.
Tom and Dara. Tom and Dara are thrown in the towel now, are they? Okay, fair enough. I understand.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's head into round two. It is, of course, Flat Games.
Games! Let's play together. Games! Let's play forever. Roll the dice, spin that thing. Put that there. Do as you're told. Games! If you lose,
you get nothing. Games, if you win, you get gold.
Gold, gold, gold,
gold,
gold. Oh, gold, listen gold, to that.
Gold, gold, gold.
That's.
Yep, some. Some listeners headed by Matt Hoss there recorded themselves shouting gold.
Oh, good
oh there
them.
You go.
They really run out of steam here. There we go. Thank you very much to Matt for those. This Great. Is Flat Games, and this time we are playing our version of Hangman, which we are calling Bangman. And it's not based on Clarkey's very popular series of amateur grumble movies. It's actually a high-minded quiz about literature. So, Tom, you're in luck. By the way, fans of the Bangman series, don't worry. Clarkey has promised that at the end of this stream, he will be screening his latest installment of Bangman, in which he plays a Randy Vicar going door-to-door with a collection plate for the church roof. So stick around at the end of this for Bangman 7, Jehovah's Witness. Anyway, on to the game. I know. Anyway, on to the game. I'm going to give each player the name of a book. You have to get your teammates to guess the title using only sounds. Okay? Now, if you can convey it in one sound, you get 5 points, and it goes down as we go. Don't worry, Ivo's not scoring. They have to be sounds. They can't be words. Sophie, you are up first, which means, Ben, can you blindfold yourself, please? Have you got something to blindfold yourself with there?
Certainly.
Okay, we'll wait for Ben
to blindfold. The kimono belt?
He's using Ooh. A face mask to blindfold himself. Very, this is absolutely ingenious there. Okay.
Now that's how he's been wearing his face mask this whole time.
It's actually safer.
He looks very like Zorro.
Socially different.
He does, doesn't he?
I think it's the hair hanging over the top. Clarkey, you look gorgeous. You can still hear us though, Clarkey, right?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, fantastic, great. For Sophie and our audience, but not for Ben, here is the book Sophie will be attempting. Pride and Prejudice. Ooh. Okay. So, Sophie, for 5 points, can you make one sound that you think will convey the entire book to Ben? Off you go.
That's good.
A very strong first sound there from Sophie. A very strong first sound. Clarkey, what are you thinking? You thinking?
Would you like me to make it again?
Yeah, I'd love it, actually. Yes, please. Is that a horse whinnying?
Ooh, well, you can't actually ask any questions.
No.
But you can think aloud. If it were a horse whinnying, what kind of book would you?
Oh, I thought that was your guess. never heard of that book.
A Horse Whinnying by Ianni Prue, yeah.
I'm trying. Well, actually,
any idea?
I make very accurate animal noises. I'm just gonna say that.
Okay.
Okay. So that isn't a horse whinnying.
Clarkey, I'm gonna have to push you. Otherwise, we're gonna have to get a second sound. Any ideas?
Can I have it one more time? Sorry.
You can have it one more time. That was Parry snorting, by the way. Parry, if you're going to snort into the microphone, can you at least mute yourself, please?
Is Babe a book?
maybe it's the book of the motion picture.
It was the sheep pig. Yeah,
Oh, so it's kind of like a it's like a posh laugh.
Can I say we've had three different sounds there. I think and you know it, Duca.
There are three different protagonists.
Oh, right. Listen, no more.
That's also not accurate. I'm sorry.
Ben can still hear you. So, I think they were all of the same. I'm going to allow it because I think they were all of the same family. That sound. They were all attempts at the same sound. Clarkey,
the Great Gatsby,
is incorrect. Let's have a second sound from Sophie, please.
Ooh. Okay.
Sophie, really hoping you were going to get it on that first sound.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, hey, it's all right. This is how we play. Okay, can we hear those two together, please?
Okay, that's the whole thing. And then this second sound is just the first bit.
Now, you did previously say that you're really good with animal noises.
Yeah.
Is that like a tiger?
You can't ask questions, Clarkie. No. You can only think aloud and give us a guess. Any ideas what you think
well,
it is?
Well, I'm thinking that sounds like a tiger.
I mean, I'm looking at what the book is, and that second sound was a real curveball.
Right. Okay.
It's a real curveball.
So I tell you what, whatever you think it is, Clarkie, guess something else. A little bit of assistance from Tom there, but I mean, it's not bad advice.
Well, I was going to go with Life of Pi because there's the growling.
It's a good guess.
It's not Life of Pi. A third sound here for 3 points. What's she going to do?
How does this make it easier? Anything, it just confuses it increasingly.
It does actually get harder, Dara, now you point that out. Yeah, it does.
Don't pick at the format.
Can my sound be a word?
No, it cannot be a word. Okay. A third sound.
It has to be different sounds to the previous sounds.
Different sounds. We're looking for a third sound there. Was that the sound?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry. Right, okay, right.
Whoa. Okay. Is this Jehovah's Witness?
This is hard.
This is hard.
It was more high pitched, but then I relaxed into it.
Do you mind just saying that one a few more times?
I feel like a Herbal Essences advert. I don't like it.
Okay.
Have you got a kind of idea from those three sounds? Because I'll tell you now, none of us have.
Sophie's Choice?
It is not Sophie's Choice, no. I can see why you said that, because it's Sophie making the noises. But it's not Sophie's Choice. A fourth sound. Do we dare a fourth sound?
No. We might have to...
I tell you what. Sophie, put him out of his misery and tell him what book you were trying to do, and then we'll hear the sounds again.
Okay, the book that I think I quite accurately portrayed through the medium of sound was the book Pride and Prejudice.
It was, of course, Pride and Prejudice. Now let's hear the sounds again, and you'll see how this was, of course, Pride and indeed Prejudice.
Okay.
Okay, so there was kind of posh, maybe flirtatious laughter.
A coquettish laugh. Then the second, I tried to go a little bit off-piste and went...
What was that all about? Can you talk us through that? I can't remember
that one.
Is that and? Is that and you're doing there?
Was the river he was coming out of very cold?
It was meant to be a lion and they live in prides.
Oh, wow.
And then prejudice, I was going to do some sort of offensive slur.
Well, I'm really pleased you could use words there. I'm really, really pleased.
Will we have to cancel Sophie Duker at some stage?
Well, the least likely people to be cancelled in all of this, but, you know, happy to do it.
I was just roaring. That's the culture. I died roaring, but I mean...
A valiant effort, Duker.
Valiant effort indeed. Dara, you're up next. Tom, apply your blindfold, please. And when the blindfold is on, which I think it is, okay, that's... I love it. You had it ready to go.
Well done, Ben.
Let's see. Yeah.
Well done, you.
Nice work, Ben. Let's see if Dara and Tom can score some points here. This is the book you are trying to do.
The Bible.
And I can't do a word.
No.
I can't do a word. It sounds like a word.
If it sounds like a word, I'm not sure that's... I think that might be okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, that's nuts.
Oh, very, very good start. Very, very good start.
I like it.
Can I have it one more time, please?
Of course.
Of course. You can have it as many times as you like.
Sounds like a better tiger.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, Tom. What are you thinking? What are you hearing this sound now? What's it conjuring up?
I'm thinking of the wind in the willows because that sounded like wind. Ooh. So I'm going to say wind in the willows.
No, I can tell you it's now, not wind. It's absolutely not
wind in the willows.
And just to help you out a little bit, Tom.
Was it wind?
There was more of like an impact at the start, but it kind of cut off on the mic.
Oh, did it?
At least it did in my ears.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, let's try it again.
I'm just doing this now over and over now.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is incorrect. Right. Okay. Okay. Are we on to second sound? You've done a guess of second,
second
sound.
Sound. Second,
second
sound.
Second sound. Oh, this is very, very strong work from Dara O'Brien here. What are you thinking, Tom?
Well, now I'm thinking the first sound sounds a bit like a bomb. And then okay. there's singing afterwards.
Mm.
So it's I'm thinking bird song because it's a war book.
Okay, yeah, that makes
sense. I'm loving
involved.
The way your mind works. It's totally wrong, but that's
it makes
totally wrong. Yeah.
It makes but it makes perfect sense. So you think you're thinking bombs.
It's like a drop and a song. Song feels like it's going to play a part or bomb the drop music.
Bomb the drop music is not the answer, I'm afraid.
That's the history of hip-hop book that I'm working on at the moment as someone who has no understanding of hip-hop. Okay. Give me okay. a third and then
let's
we'll
hear
see.
Let's hear right. a third okay. sound okay. from Dara.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's good.
Yes, good. It is good. It is good.
So there's like a drop or like a and then there's a song and then there's a snake.
Oh. Okay, yes. Anything's like anything that immediately springs to mind when you think of
So now I'm thinking of the Jungle Book, but I don't think it's the Jungle Book. I wouldn't do a
No, it's not the Jungle Book. No. Okay.
I am going to say drop the singing snake, and that's my final answer.
No, right. Drop the singing snake.
I'm going to say think a little bigger. It's a big book.
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, jeez. Bigger. Oh. Bigger.
The Bible.
It is indeed the Bible. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Holy moly.
I mean,
exactly.
The Bible in three sounds.
In three sounds. I mean, the sound of creation, angelic voices singing, and then a snake.
I mean, the Big Bang is kind of
it's
the opposing
modern take
on
the Bible.
Yeah.
But there's still a moment of creation. Yeah. But also, we don't think the Big Bang literally went.
Oh. Oh.
Well, that's what Richard Dawkins told me.
Yeah.
Right. So I think we'll give you. I mean, I sort of edge you towards that. I'm going to give you 2 points there. For that,
Thank
I can't give you.
You
the full three, but that was fantastic work from Dara there. Really, really good. Okay, Ben.
That is an audiobook I would listen to.
Oh, I'd love to do
Dara O'Brien Sounds the Bible.
Sounds the Bible.
Get that on Audible. Yes. Get that on Audible.
I would definitely, it sounds like the Bible with Dara O'Brien. I love it. Okay, let's go to Ben now. Sophie, if you would please blind yourself.
Blind
what Sophie's,
okay. Whoa.
Sorry, if you blindfold yourself. No, don't blind yourself.
That's the last round, but that's pretty intense.
It's Equus, actually. No, if you would blindfold yourself, please. My huge apologies. Blindfold yourself. And Clarkie, here is your book. Crime and Punishment. Okay.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Parry's looking at that thinking that's achievable.
I'm sizing that one up.
Clarkie is, he's sweating through that kimono.
Well, I really am.
What do you think, Clarkie? Okay. Let's have the first sound. And Sophie, listen carefully. Very strong work from Clarkie there straight away. Okay.
Okay.
Sophie, what are you thinking?
Right, it sounds like either a siren or a very annoying child.
okay.
It's both, but it's me doing it.
So I feel like it's like there's some sort of emergency.
Okay.
Maybe an incident.
Okay.
No, not an incident.
No.
There's a book with an incident in it.
Ooh, maybe a curious
that?
Incident.
What is that book?
No.
No,
possibly not an incident. Possibly okay. just an alarm.
Sirens, good. Stick
the
with sirens. The siren
is a very, very strong clue from Clarkie. You're on the right track there, Sophie. Drill down into that, because I reckon if you think about this a little bit, you might be able to get this.
I think maybe it's like an old book.
It is an old book.
Like maybe like a classical book.
It's not classical, no.
Could it be classical? It's just old.
Should we have the second noise?
Let's have the second noise. Yeah, go on.
Oh,
here we go. Oh, he's getting up for it.
Oh,
that wasn't the second noise.
That's not the noise. No, you've not heard. That's just him moving.
Does that work?
Okay. What were you? Were you knocking on a surface there?
Was that tapping? I didn't hear it. Do it one more time, please.
One more time, Clarky. See if you can. Is there a surface you can bring to the microphone rather than bring the microphone to the surface?
Can I change the sound then?
Of course you can change the sound, all right? Let the tapping be stricken from the record. And it's probably a good thing because I've got no fucking clue what it was on about with that tapping. But let's.
Well, this one. Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's good.
Put them together. Do one and then the other.
Yeah, lovely. Sophie, Duca.
So it's like a siren, like an alarm. It's like ringing, like, but then there's like a crackling, like a firework. Or like fire, like a bomb. I don't know how to talk.
It's getting very Darth Vader-y now, Ben.
A ringing alarm, a bell, a siren, a police siren.
Yes, a police siren, yeah.
A police siren, yes.
No, there are no books about police.
No, you're right, there aren't.
Somebody should write one. Somebody should definitely write one.
It's a gap, in the,
gap in the market.
You could turn it into a TV show. We get a TV show about the police as well. It'd be brilliant.
I've got the book ideas. For Whom the Bell Tolls in my head, but I know it's not that because
it's not that.
Bell,
who the siren
ring
rings.
The alarm. What about watch out bells?
Let's hear one final noise from Clarky, and then we may have to close this for good.
Come on, Clarky.
Okay.
Come on, Clarky.
What do you think that sounded like?
It sounded like someone shooting a poison dart at a cowboy.
Okay, in which case I wouldn't chase that thought down anymore.
Was it poison? No, it just wasn't any of those. Siren.
Yes, police siren.
Yes,
you were right.
Police siren.
Absolutely, yes.
A
off
police
to solve
a inspector. What? It's the Sherlock Holmes.
It's not Sherlock Holmes. No, Sophie, take the blindfold off. I'm afraid you succeed. The book was, of course, it wasn't Rebecca. No, it was Crime and Punishment. Of course, they solve. Yeah. Yeah, of course. They solve crimes and incidents, of course. They also solve those. But it was
what
crime.
Was that final bit of punishment, Clarky?
It was the guillotine.
The guillotine.
Oh, it was the guillotine.
The guillotine.
Common
what
form
was the...
of punishment.
Ambitious to do that.
I mean, terrible, really. In hindsight.
What was sound two, please?
It was supposed to be the shutting of a jail cell.
I thought that was very good, actually.
Do you know what you realise when you're watching it is that there's a lot of physical, you know, he's bringing a lot of physicality to the part.
That makes all the difference.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's a bit like when Dara was doing the big bang. It's the hands together and it's the sort of the, you know,
oh,
all
you
of
never
that.
Saw that time. It was amazing.
You never saw
it.
You could see
the
Sophie, if you'd seen Ben, it was like there was a big, heavy, wrought iron door right in front of him and he was slamming it shut and it was, you know, it was something else. Final one is, of course.
Oh, no.
Yeah, final one is, of course.
Okay.
For Tom. Now, Dara is going to blindfold himself there. That is an amazing blindfold there.
It's a face mask. Again, these face masks are really useful.
So
and
useful.
And they're a hammock for your testicles.
Yeah, hoping you've not used the same one for all three.
I mean, you'll go blind that way.
Oh, yeah, true.
Okay. So, Tom.
I'll get COVID in my eyes now.
Here is...
be a lady.
Here is the book you are going for.
Three Men in a Boat.
Let's hear your first sound, please.
Okay. Hey, hey, hey!
Okay, I see. Okay. I absolutely see where you're going with that, and it's a strong first outing for the first sound. Can we hear it again, please?
Okay. Hey, hey, hey!
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa! That's getting dangerously close to the word "hey" there.
No.
Okay, it's not the word. No, no, no words.
It's not
here.
The word "hey."
No. No.
Let's.
It's, hey, hey, hey!
I'll accept. I'll accept. But I won't accept. Hey, hey, hey! Hey, hey, hey. Right. The only reason I'm saying not, it's not the word "hey" is just because you're not allowed to do actual words, Dara.
Yes,
the only
of course,
I'm saying
absolutely. And also, I don't, you know.
It's not about it's not about horses again. Okay.
It's somebody calling, getting attention for somebody, calling somebody.
How many times? Hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey, hey. Three times.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. That's somebody... calling attention three times. All right. Okay.
Or maybe. Well.
Or. Well. So maybe. Maybe. Yes.
Maybe it's more about. What did you say, Matthew?
Look, would you either say something or don't say something? But honestly.
Okay.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Okay.
Okay. So
second sound. Second sound, please.
Please.
Okay.
It's either a tap, spraying three times. It's speed skating. That's the other thing that sounds like, which is unlikely. I don't know any novel about speed skating in the English canon. It's storms, lightning, weather. Three storms for Mary. Three.
You're close. It's not a million miles away.
Yeah,
you're
weirdly quite close.
I mean, it's sort of close. Yeah. It's not a million miles away. Let's say it's half a million miles away.
Oi, oi, oi!
Okay, there's definitely an aqua theme. I'd say. So you're.
Oi, oi, oi!
All right, we know.
You seem to even go, you toilet, you slag, and then...
Yeah, it's not a Jake Arnott book or something like that. It's not...
It's like they're on Kling film.
Okay, yeah. Final noise.
Final noise. Please give me the final noise.
And it's not the Blue Peter Annual.
It's not, so it's on a boat. It's,
oi, oi, oi!
I mean, you've said almost all of the words in the title now, so.
Three storms, boat, Mary. That wasn't one of them. That was my own addition to it. Is three, Moby Dick, on a boat.
Oi, oi, oi!
Okay, we get it. That's a boat. That's Blue Peter.
The boat is in the title.
I tell you what, this really sounds like
okay,
a format.
I can slightly change it now. Okay, you ready? Oi, oi, hey.
Oh.
I mean,
that's like eight sounds.
That's three sounds, Tom. You're bending, you're stretching the rules to breaking point here. But Dara is so close, I'd love for him to get it.
Irritating. It's of a boat, on a boat.
Yes, what? Oi, oi, oi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm totally sorry. It's three men on a boat.
It's not men on a boat, exactly. Of course it is.
Of course
yes.
It's three men on a boat.
Of course, yes. It's three men on a boat. Of course. What else could it have been?
Well, many things. It was three storms for Mary is very literally what it was.
I wish it had been three storms for Mary.
Three Storms for Mary, a great book. What are you reading at the moment?
I mean, Three Storms for Mary, that's about it. Also
the title of Bang Man 5.
Yeah, the... I'll take this off because we've done it.
You can take it off, yeah. Yes. You've got the point, so I can give you there the full 3 points there. Congratulations. Gwyn, what does that do to the scores, please? And I'm not going to allow you to use words. No, actually, no, do use words. And we've got to wrap the show up. Scores, please.
Genuine look of panic. The scores are Tom and Dara have 15 and Ben and Sophie unchanged on 30.
Oh! Okay, so Tom and Dara have taken the lead there. Now it's time for a round that I can describe in just two sounds, moo and yo, it's Beef Brothers.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Yes, Yes, it's Beef Brothers, where each week we ask our panellists to sort out a flat share based beef. And today's one comes from audience member John. Now, John, are you there?
Hey!
Hello, John. How are you doing, John? There, man? Thanks for coming on the show. Now, John writes, my flatmate slash wife, Kate, keeps buying more and more houseplants. There are between 10 to 15 plants dotted around our relatively small house, and she's always on the lookout for more. Four new ones arrived in the post just last week. This wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for the fact that we have a third flatmate, Cariad, our one-year-old daughter, who will grab them and dig into the soil with her hand so she could get to them. What this means is that every morning when I get up to give Cariad her breakfast, I have to move all of the plants to safe positions so that she can't access them. It's only when she goes to bed at around 7 p.m. that Kate moves them back to where she wants the plants. It is therefore a merry-go-round of moving plants every day. Should I destroy all the plants, or should I stop moaning and live in a pot plant forest, or somewhere in between, I suppose? Now, John, that's your thank you, but congratulations, by the way, on having a lovely daughter, Cariad, 1 year old. Right, we're going to do a slight change of the format for Beef Brothers this time. Our four panelists are all going to come up with a different solution for John, but first, a cross-examination. Does anyone have any questions for John? And in fact, is Kate there as well?
Yeah, she's here.
Kate is here as well. Great. Well, let's start. Okay. Hey, Kate, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll start with questions for John. We'll move to questions for Kate in a second. We're all going to try and solve John and Kate's problem here. Anyone got a question off the bat for either for John, first of all?
John?
Yeah?
Have you tried... Do you tell Cariad not to touch the plants? Have you explored that route?
We've tried that, but she's not keen on following instructions at the moment.
This is a parent of a one-year-old coming from a soon-to-be parent. You will find out very, very soon, Parry, that telling a one-year-old not to do things is just
Oh, that doesn't work.
You have to reason with the one-year-old.
They usually just go, "Oh yeah, that's an excellent point." They'll say, "That's an excellent point. Thank you for putting that." Okay. I never considered like that.
This is all really good.
I will alter my behaviour accordingly.
Sophie, you've got a question for John.
I've got a question for John. Is Cariad a human baby and not a cat?
She is a human baby. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The trickiest kind of
baby. Yeah, that's not your area of expertise things. Now, is it?
No. Dijon used to dig up the plants, but I think it was because she was bored.
Oh, that's interesting. Clark Yordara, any questions for our friend John here?
I presume, is your house full of any other stimulus for your child? Or, I mean, have you considered toys?
Toys? But she tends to go for things that we don't want her to go for, as you know, child.
That's the classic.
Classic.
Absolutely.
Classic baby. Yeah. Classic baby. Yeah.
Classic adult. Yeah.
Clarky, any questions?
What's it like having a baby? Is it nice?
Not a bad question.
Tricky in lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. All right. Well, I'll think on it.
Is Cariad your only child?
She is, yes.
Okay, so you're just dealing with this 1 year old in lockdown who wants to tear up the plants.
But there's lots of plants.
Loads of plants.
So Kate, Cariad isn't your baby. Have I got this right? I am confused. Is it you two and Cariad?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Kate, you keep bringing in the plants?
Yes, and the baby a year ago.
Brought in the baby as well.
So you have a desire for baby and plant to cohabit, to live together, the baby to grow up aware of plants, around plants.
I live in an idealistic world of baby and plants in complete harmony.
Eden, if you
are the plants in every room, or is there a specific planty type room that you have?
All over the place.
Okay.
I mean, there's two right here.
Right here. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Essentially.
There's a yucca going on there. That's standard house plant. Very good.
I'm not familiar with human babies. Can your Cariad, can she walk?
She has started walking during lockdown, so yes.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Oh, great, but also, wow, what a time to have her start walking.
Where's she going to go?
Yeah. any of those plants? I mean, they're not poisonous plants, right? I mean, that sounds like
yeah.
Got like a Venus flytrap.
It's all poisonous. There's that poison ivy up the walls. That's what they've got. Yeah. Ivy crawling around. Yeah, that poison
devil plants. Ivy, left, right, and centre.
Just a massive cactus. You know, one of those really brutal cactuses right in the centre of the living room.
There are cactuses about.
Oh, you've got
it's cacti, John. Come on, man.
Listen, we're all on everybody's side this time round. So,
and also, it's bye-bye.
It is in Wolverhampton, so, anyway.
Bye-bye.
That's my bye-bye. No, that's not my bye-bye. John, where does your chief concerns lie for the safety of the plants? Or for the comfort of the house, or the baby will.
You've really got no idea how to talk. Tom, you're going to be a parent in like 3 months' time. All right, you need to change your entire brain.
I'm just wondering where the concern is. Is it that the baby's going to eat a plant or soil? Or
John hates the fucking plants. Tom, he just hates the plants. That's it.
I think the baby thing is cover for me wanting to get rid of the plants.
Totally. I'm totally using this challenge. Yeah. Like
I don't want to eat
plants.
Soil. That's one.
And can you put up a shelf?
She doesn't want them on shelves. We've got some on shelves already.
How many would you say you have? What, like, if you had to give a rough estimate, you're saying it's like 10 to 15, you reckon, with four arrived last week?
I counted them this earlier in preparation. There is 19.
Ooh. 19, that's a lot.
That's a healthy amount.
How many?
A solid amount of plants.
How many rooms are they over? How many rooms do you keep plants in? Over five rooms, 19. Okay, so right, so we're.
Four, I think, because there are none in her room.
Okay, over four.
That seems like an obvious thing to do. Yeah, well done.
The cactus in the cart, obviously.
and the silver moon.
So no plants in the baby's room.
Not at the moment. That's, he kept attacking right. it, so we had to move it to there.
Sophie, any questions for John or Kate? I know you basically tapped out as soon as they said it was a human baby, but
just waiting for the the cat related content. How many plants would you say are bigger than the baby, or are they all smaller than the baby?
I'd say two or three bigger than the baby.
And what do you mind disclosing what sort of breed of plant species? Plants they are?
An umbrella plant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a rubber plant.
Great.
All right.
Any succulents?
Yeah, I've got a jade plant upstairs that's not doing very well.
Oh, is that the dead one?
No, it's not dead.
It's almost like the definition of not doing well in the town circles. Yeah.
Did it die roaring?
Can I ask a question of you, John? Do you, and this is a safe space here, and Kate, you might want to cover your ears for this, but do you in your own way sabotage any of these plants? Do you overwater any of them while Kate's not looking? Do you move them away from sunlight? Is there anything you've done? Do you pour a bit of lager into the soil?
There are plants, John.
Have you got a plant pasta plot to piss in?
there are two that are on the windowsill in our bedroom that you cannot shut the blind without removing them. So I sometimes do close the blind on them.
Right.
Yeah.
You guillotine them, if you will.
Yeah.
Clarky, do the sound effect, quick. Okay. Right. I think that is enough to go on, unless anyone has any final questions. No.
Not okay. I've got the situation down now. Yep.
Hopefully that is enough to solve our panelists' problem. So, our guest problem. So, let's have a solution to John and Kate plus one's problem. Dara, we'll start with you. What are you thinking?
You're lovely people, and congratulations on your child. Kate, it's time to give up your dreams. you don't live in an arboretum. That has to end now, okay? The only way to get this message across, John, is to go totally native and start weaving trousers out of leaves, gather the plants around yourselves, and then play the music from The Mission. From the Sadly Departed Ennio Morricone soundtrack. And yeah, that oboe music. And sit in a native style surrounded by the plants. This is it. If we live in a plant world, then I shall also live as a plant would. And so I want you to weave pants out of the yucca. and in order to make this point. Okay. So that's it. Really? Beautiful. John, get over it, for fuck's sake. There's only some plans.
All right, that really turned at the end there. It really turned.
A bit, to be honest.
We'll stick with the yucca pants. We'll stick with the go native.
With a one-year-old child and John's whining about a couple of fucking rubber plants in the house. Man, if you don't want them, stick them on your shelf, right?
Do we think the plants are actually not the problem? Anyway, well, this is not therapy, this is just a podcast, all right?
You have whatever problems you want. You fight this battle out in whatever fake arena you want here, right? So you let him grow to pants out of leaves and have his moment in the path of the league.
Jeeper, I think Dara's just found our format.
There we go. I'm sorry. I've gone both ways on this, haven't I?
Yes, but I think we're gonna keep go native because I like go native.
Go native.
Answer.
Okay, great.
So we're gonna keep that as the answer. Sophie, what is your advice for John?
John, I think it's clear that you and the plants are at war, if not literally. Although sometimes literally with you closing the blinds on them, at least psychologically. But the trouble is that your partner doesn't respect your inherent fear of the plants. So I would ask you to invest in some films, specifically the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Little Shop of Horrors, Day of the Triffids, and just watch these are, I would say, anti-plant propaganda films on loop for like a fortnight, and I feel like the plants will find their own way out of the home you share.
I love it.
So educate the plants themselves to do an uprising and take to the streets. Okay.
I mean, yes, that is one way of interpreting what.
No, I love it. I actually love that. I think that's a very strong answer there. So go anti-plant propaganda. Lovely answer from Sophie. Clarkey, what are you thinking?
Well, it's a complicated one, so I want you to go with me on this. Okay. Because I've looked at this from every angle with an analytical eye, and I think that it's not as simple as, you know, baby or plants, which I feel like, you know, is what they're discussing. You know, one has to go, and that's the debate they've put for us.
When did they say the baby had to go?
Well, I'm reading between the lines here. You know, there's an issue here. Something's in the house that they don't like. Which one is it? But
people don't speak about that chapter of George Best's autobiography, do they? Baby or plants?
Baby or plants? It's the new daddy or chips. But I think let's get to the root of the problem here, guys. I think what you need to do, and it is technical, is that if you take the plants and put them outside, because technically, and not a lot of people know this, that is actually a natural habitat for plants. They draw energy from the sun, they get water from the rain, they'll actually thrive. You can still look at them through the windows and when you're outside, and then when you're inside, it's baby palace. And that way, you get to keep both, and you don't have to do the mental thing you were considering of choosing between baby or plants.
Okay, right, yeah. So you've really thrown it back at them there, Clarkey. Okay, well, good. Sure. Plants outside, baby inside, never the twain shall meet. Right, before we go to Tom, John and Kate, how do you think it's going so far? Are you happy with any of the answers so far? Any? Are you leaning towards any of them at the moment?
I'm happy with most of them, to be honest.
Yeah, not great.
They all involve you getting rid of the plants. So,
I would say that there's not a lot more room outside for any more plants because there are more outside than are inside. It is a problem.
Oh, wow.
Well, what about out the front of your house and just put a nice little sign saying, help yourself? There seems a lot of that going on at the moment, you know.
Or for the baby. Is that baby or plant advice?
I'll leave that to your discretion there.
I told you guys.
Okay, Tom, now, are you going to solve this problem as yourself?
No, I'm going to do it in the style of a Deep South American lawyer from a John Grisham novel.
Okay.
Mr. Fanshawe Standen.
Fanshawe Standen presiding and providing Let's hear what you have to say.
Ladies and gentlemen with a problem, I've been listening to you here today, and it sort of got me thinking, hell yeah, it's the age-old battle, isn't it? Nature versus nurture. Hell, there used to be a saying with my mama, you could stick a boy in a yard with a stick, and there he'll stay. And I sure did stay in that yard. But listening to you there reminds me of a story of mine when I was growing up on the farm. There, little baby piglet. Hog had gone to market to live on the farm, but we had a little baby piglet, and it used to play there with the dog. And my mama used to say, you can't leave a dog with a piglet, and I'd say, mama, nature nurture put them together. Cut a long story short, the pig ate the dog. Now you take from that what you will. Maybe don't leave the baby with the plants after all. That's my advice, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Fanshawe. So don't leave the baby with the plants. I mean, it was staring you right in the face there the entire time. Now, obviously, I can't make the call myself. I'm biased, as I didn't tell anyone this, but I'm actually half plant. My mother was a yucca tree, and my father was a pervert. So instead, I call upon our live internet audience. So if you go to our profile on Twitter, it's at Pappy's Tweet. Our pinned tweet will let you vote for who you think should win. Was it Dara? Was it Sophie? Was it Clarkey? Or was it Fanshawe with whatever his suggestion was? So go to @Pappy's Tweet on Twitter now and vote. You've got 30 seconds to do so, and your time is very nearly up. But I'd like to talk to you guys. So now you've heard Fanshawe's suggestion, John, have you ever thought of just not keeping the baby and the plant in the same room?
We have a lot of rooms, and I've tried to manufacture that by moving the plants to a safe place.
Could you have a plant? Could you have a jungle room, like Elvis used to have, where you have a room that is just entirely full of plants, and that's your little sort of hothouse room? All the plants go in that room. The baby never goes in there. That's mummy and daddy's jungle room. You're not allowed in there. I mean, I know when you say it's mummy and daddy's jungle room, it sounds creepy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't intended that way. But could that?
There's
could
lots
that be
of plants. There's lots of swings, bizarrely, but they're not for you.
Could that be a possibility?
I would consider outside to be the jungle room. That's where plants should live.
There you go. I think okay. I'm going to move like 2-3 plants in the morning. It's not. Before, yes.
Every morning? Okay. Every morning?
The thing is, when you've got a morning routine, I also have a she's one on Sunday. Every little aspect of it can become laborious when it becomes the routine. So, I mean, that's parenting, isn't it? So little bits can be laborious. You can take one laborious thing out. That would be great, but anyway, it's not my decision. It's the decision of our listeners, and I can tell you now we have a final decision. A lot of people voted, only one winner. With 18% was Clarkey, with 20% was Sophie, with 30% was Fanshawe, but Dara is the clear winner. Go native. Wear the plants yourself with 32%. Yeah. Dara is the winner. So how do you feel about that? I mean, John, how do you feel about that? Are you ready to start weaving yourself some yucca pants?
Absolutely. I'll start immediately.
Kate, how are you feeling about it?
It doesn't have to be like a corner. You can be a corner of the room. You can put them all there. You can sit amidst them in your yucca pants, which is obviously,
corner.
I think exactly. You'll agree, will be a beautiful sight to see your husband in wrapped in leafy pants. I'm not saying it should be part of the romantic routine, but I'm just saying it's a nice
thing.
Okay?
It could be. It's there.
Could be. You know, it's there. You know,
it's always there.
Oh, hello.
It's always there.
Are you a Franciscan monk come to explore the jungle? I mean, who knows? You can.
Well, John and Kate, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks for accepting the decision of the online audience, and we'll see you again very soon. I hope. Good luck with the plants. See you soon. John and Kate, everybody. John and Kate, there we go.
Good luck with the child.
Hi, John bye and bye. Kate.
Lovely good to
luck.
See them there.
Lovely people. Lovely people.
Okay. Lovely. So, well, it's nearly time for the quickfire round. And here is something we do not have to vote on. This jingle is a bit too long. It's the quickfire round jingle. Let's hear it.
Mm.
This is the quick fire round. It's the round that goes really quickly, which is why it's amusing that it's got a really long introduction.
Ooh, it's a great Jay.
It's got a long introduction, or at least that is the joke. The trouble is it's no longer funny, things lasting a long time, because we've all lost our own sense of time. Yesterday lasted 3 hours.
Ooh, it's a state of affairs.
And the day before lasted a week. Is it April or is it July? This year's flown by, and this year's felt like a decade. I had a bath the other day that took a month. So is this intro long? Well, it could be, or it could be short. I just don't know anymore. I've smashed up all my clocks. Fuck this lockdown.
It's like Inception.
But also fuck easing this lockdown. Oh God, I've lost my mind. I'm starting to understand why Schrodinger's cat went mental. Or, well, did he? Did she? I don't know if the cat was there.
I've lost the thread.
But let's not get into that now. Instead, let's get on with the quick fire round.
A very real quick fire round jingle there from Tom and Ben there. Yes, this is the quick fire round, and as our show is about masks, all of our answers follow the pattern of Jim Carrey's famous catchphrase from The Cable Guy. Now, of course, I'm having light-hearted fun with you. It's his catchphrase from The Mask: "Somebody stop me." So, for it's great to hear that. But it's great to hear that in 2020, isn't it?
We watched it only the other day. Does it still watch it?
Really? Does it still hold up?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no, it's kind of weird.
You know, there's a bit later thinking there was a dog who put the mask on. They're like, okay, it's a bit strange.
Yeah.
We watched Groundhog Day once and they really didn't go for that because we're in the middle of fucking lockdown. So why would they like
it? It's a documentary.
So
the way this round works is if I were to ask you, what does the mask say when he wants a cut of meat on the bone, usually pork or lamb? You would say, "Somebody chop me." And we'd all have a great time. Instead of buzzers, I would like you to shout out your first name. So, Tom and Dara, let's hear yours.
Tom.
Dara.
Ben and Sophie.
Ben.
Sophie.
Off we go. What does the mask say when he's a balloon?
Sophie.
Sophie.
Somebody pat me.
Is correct. What does the mask say when he's been picked up?
Tom. Somebody drop me.
Is correct. What does the mask say when he wants to be traded for something else?
Oh, Sophie!
I think it was just Sophie ahead of Ben there.
Somebody swap me.
Absolutely correct. What does the mask say when he's cleaning the floor?
Dara.
Ben. Dara. I think Dara was just there first.
Somebody mop me.
Somebody mop me. What does the mask say when he's wearing a sleeveless jumper?
Sophie. Somebody crap me?
Oh, Tom. I'm afraid it's not. No. Anybody else?
Dara?
Tom. Somebody tank top me.
Is absolutely correct. Of course it's somebody tank top me.
Of course it is.
Look who you're talking to. What does the mask say when he's the manager of Liverpool FC?
Tom. Yeah, go on. Somebody clap me.
Absolutely correct. What does the mask say when he's working on his MacBook?
Oh.
Ben.
Ben.
I'm running out of hard disk space because this is taking so long.
I know what it is.
Go on, John.
Somebody airdrop me.
Oh, Dara. No, do you know what? That's better than I had. But go on, Dara. What was it?
Somebody Photoshop me?
It's as simple as somebody laptop me. Somebody laptop me. But you know what? I'm going to give a point for airdrop and I'm going to give a point for Photoshop. What did the mask say when he's a luggage carrier in a hotel?
Sophie.
Somebody
bellhop me.
Love it. Absolutely right. Oh, I'm glad I've got loads of these. And what does the mask say when he's in Waterstones?
Dara. Somebody bookshop me.
Somebody bookshop me. Dara's, come on, hit it with enthusiasm next time, please.
Somebody bookshop me.
That's what I'm talking about. What does the mask say?
Is this a format? Can we just check? Is this a format?
Again, no, still not a format. What does the mask say when he's hanging out with Stormzy?
Sophie. was I always going to get that one?
Better
somebody
fucking get it.
Somebody mossy bot me.
Somebody mossy bot me is absolutely correct. What does the mask say when he's a superhuman cyborg law enforcer?
Tom. Somebody RoboCop me.
Absolutely correct. And finally, what does the mask say when he's doing the high jump?
Sophie. Somebody Fosbury flop me.
Oh, Sophie Duker smashing the fuck out of the quickfire round there. That really is the end of the round and indeed the end of the game. So before we find out the final scores, Dara and Sophie, is there anything you need to, you want to plug? Sophie?
Nope.
I actually need an adapter for my electric toothbrush, but I'm otherwise fine. I do a podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Fantastic. Yeah. Tell us the
name
of your podcast.
It's about a great new show called I May Destroy You, and it's called Obsessed with I May Destroy You because it's very literal. But it's a great show, everyone should watch.
Amazing.
And I chat about it.
I love that show. So you're doing like the kind of the discussion show after the show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic. And it's called Obsessed with I May Destroy You.
Obsessed with I May Destroy You. It's honestly one of the most mind-blowing things I've seen on TV in a while.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I love that show. So I'd love to hear that podcast. Well, I'll definitely listen to that. Brilliant.
I have nothing. I haven't worked in months, and there's nothing in the diary. So
that's why you did this.
This is how you got
how
me,
else
lads.
Do we get Dara? You know.
I don't know. Somebody eat a bat. That's how we'll get the guests. Like shut down the world and people.
It worked out great for us this lockdown. Yeah. I can tell you that. Thanks to all of you guys watching. As always, check out our Patreon. We do 3 bonus eps there every week. So go to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. For $5 and above, you get the bonus eps. Leave us a review on iTunes or tweet recommending the podcast to all of your friends. But most of all, we're going to do another one of these, I think. I think we're going to keep doing these on Zoom during lockdown. So please keep coming back. You know, come for the lack of format, stay for the lack of format. So, producer Gwyn, let's hear the final scores. I'm very excited about this.
So the final scores are Ben and Sophie have 18 and Tom and Dara have 24.
Oh,
that is amazing.
Really, really, really good. So Ben and Sophie have to get the face masks while Tom and Dara get to get off their faces. Thanks so much to our guests, Dara O'Brien and Sophie Duker. We've been Pappies. See you next time on Flatshare Slamdown. Pappies Flatshare Slamdown featured Matthew Crosby, Ben Clark and Tom Parry with special guests Dara O'Brien and Sophie Duker. It's devised by Pappies and Ben Walker. Technical expertise by Emma Corsham with help from Gwyn Rhys-Davis. It's produced by Emma Corsham. Big thanks to everyone who watched the show live, to Zoom and to YouTube for hosting us. I still can't believe we're on Zoom. It's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, Pappies Flatshare Slamdown is a Secret News production for Acast and the internet. Cheers, everyone. Bye!
Well, there you go. That is how we do it. At the start of a month.
Tom, tell us again what the audience have just listened to. I'd love to know.
I've been practicing while I was listening. It was Flatshare Slam. Oh, God.
Oh, no. It was Flatshare.
See, this is marketing 101. You know, how are we supposed to sell a product that we can't even say?
Absolutely.
So it was, am I right in saying it was F Slam Shyamalan? Is that right? Is that right?
Something like that. Yeah.
There was certainly a twist in the tail.
There was a real twist in the tail, everyone. I was brain dead all along. thank you for listening. If you did, please share it around your friends, stick it on social media, leave a review on iTunes, come and visit the Patreon community.
Yes, we have so much fun over there. Send us an email, pappiesflatshare@gmail.com. Send us a beef to solve, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Go on our Twitter, @pappiestweet. Go on our Instagram, @pappiescomedy. Just get in touch with us, guys.
That's it. We're lonely.
It's still basically lockdown and we're still really lonely. We only... all we see is the other two and Corsham, and you know, they're lovely and everything, but come on, guys, a little bit of human contact, even via email.
Well, look, we don't want to beg, but we just did. so if you have half a heart, get in touch. This episode was produced by producer Caution
Team.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.